Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Thursday night, January 20th, 2022. Shout out to our great channel members here live on YouTube. I know. You know, our channel audience, channel members, the family is not very big over here, which is all good. It's all good. So you get my undivided attention. You know, big shout out to everybody who is not a channel member that accesses the audio version of this show. Somebody saying you get no audio? Okay. All right. I think we fixed it. Oh, boy. It's one of those days. One of those days. Thank you, Austin, One Fall, Ozzy, Les, and everybody else. I think you could hear me loud and clear now. I know. A couple of technical difficulties. I tell you, this afternoon was kind of a little weird day as far as social media and YouTube. Twitter was down for a little while today. No explanation given. YouTube was down. I had problems even logging in about 15 minutes before we went showtime. I couldn't get into my Facebook, and it wasn't hacked. Something was up today, and it happens. But good evening, everybody. It is Thursday night, January 20th, 2022. This is Q&A with yours truly. The live stream open exclusively for La Nostra Familia, our great family, our YouTube channel members. Shout out to everyone else who does have access to the show, the audio version live, well, after the live episode ends. And we'll be around tonight till about 11:30, about a 90-minute show, maybe a little bit sooner. I am going to sit here and chat with our channel members. We will talk a little bit of wrestling news and some other things. I know the big topic today was people losing their shit because Bully Ray expressed an opinion. Maybe a not a popular opinion, but opinion nonetheless. And, you know, I'm sure this is going to be a topic that you all want me to talk about. Now look, man, I speak my mind, whether it's a popular opinion or not. Sometimes what I say goes along with how everybody feels, and sometimes it doesn't. In the case of Bully Ray, and yeah, there's a little history there, you know, way back to beyond podcasts, back when Matt Zombie was selling the Beulah McGillicuddy porn video and them throwing him in a bathroom and basically threatening to beat the living crap out of him. You know, I think Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, and someone else was in that bathroom that day. I wasn't, thank God. But, yeah, we'll talk about Sami Zayn, too. But Bully Ray, on his Busted Open show today, was talking about Jon Moxley's speech from yesterday. And he loved it, but he wished that Jon Moxley would have apologized to the fans. Apologized for maybe disappointing them, for everybody who may have bought tickets to see him and he couldn't appear because of, you know, his battling alcoholism and his vices. Bully Ray felt that Jon Moxley should have also included an apology with that. Now, I see the social media reaction to it, and I don't go against the grain just to go against the grain. Me, I look at it like, I don't think Jon Moxley rehearsed what he was going to say. I think he thought about what he was going to bring up, and that was the honest truth. But you could see that this was something coming from here. And we all have made statements in our lifetime. And after you make it, you kind of think back afterwards, like, ah, I wish I would have brought this up. I wish I would have done this. I'll be honest with you. In my opinion, John Moxley coming to the ring and getting as raw and as deep as he did was an apology. I think John Moxley inspiring others that you may have the ugliest scars, but that's what makes who we are. You've heard me say a trillion times over the years, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up. You know, you could just sit and woe is me since COVID started. You remember the early days of COVID? You know, people complaining, no work, no money, no this, no that, no this, but couldn't find or even tried to find any means of getting finances. You know, the easy way out, GoFundMe. You know, so a lot of people, you know, just could just sit and rot and hope that someone else picks them up. John Moxley didn't wait to sit and rot and wait for somebody else to pick him up. He picked himself up. He inspired millions of people yesterday, even if that was not his intention. So in my opinion, John Moxley apologized by being truthful about his imperfections. Yes, Harris, I'm talking about Bully Ray's comments. So I feel John Moxley did apologize yesterday. Now, I will say this. Bully Ray expressing his opinion that John Moxley should have actually said the words, I'm sorry or I apologize to anybody that I let down, he has every right to that opinion. Right? If you don't like his opinion, you have a right to rebut it. You have a right to disagree. You have a right to tell Bully Ray, I don't agree with you. But to see the people just using this as a reason just to curse the guy out, to put him down, to criticize him. I always thought he was a dick. I always thought he was an asshole. He's a piece of shit. Always was, always will be. You're just looking for a reason to do this to Bully Ray. Those are the people that I have a problem with. I don't agree with what Bully Ray said, but you know, I say it in a professional way. I disagree with the guy. I think he's wrong on that one. But you could see the difference of people that just disagree with him wholeheartedly and those who really just use this as an excuse, almost like a revenge tool that, you know, they've been pissed off by Bully Ray for so many years. Like, okay, here's an opportunity where I could say, fuck you, and I don't have to worry about the IWC going against me. If anything, you use this opportunity and you have thousands of people like, yeah, bro, yeah, dude, I'm with you 100%. He's an asshole. Not going there. Not going there. Some people agree with Bully Ray. See, that's the beauty about living in a world we have freedom of speech. It's not freedom of the speech that you like or freedom of speech that you agree with. Of course, there's limitations in my honest opinion. But that's the beauty of this world. We can say what we want, even if it's something that you disagree or if it's not a popular opinion. Now, some people will intentionally always take the opposite side of a discussion, you know, to try to be, you know, going against the grain or be renegade or this and that. You know, me, my honest opinion is that Bully Ray was wrong in what he said. But to use that as an entryway to just, you know, say a lot of shit about the guy, you don't come off any better than he does. You know, in fact, those people, I think, come off worse than Bully Ray in that conversation. Rams fan became a fan of Moxley, just appreciates him more now. Yeah, I mean, Moxley was being a human being yesterday, a regular guy. Guy has issues and inspired so many people yesterday. Trust me, when I saw people online yesterday writing how inspired they were with what he said, some people were driven to tears. That's real, man. That's real. You know, we go to wrestling for an escape. A lot of people go to wrestling as an escape from the problems of the everyday world. But once in a while, in that escape, it's good to hear the people that you turn to for the entertainment escape to also remind you that they're human beings like you and I. They could have all the money, all the fame, all the power in the world. They could still have big-time problems. And look, you could write something on Twitter about battling your demons and overcoming it. You might get 7 likes out of it. I may write something on Twitter battling certain demons and I overcame it, and I might get 7 likes out of it. John Moxley does it and gets 70,000 likes out of it. That's the power of using your fame, using your influence in a positive way. You remember we talked about it with Mike Johnson of PW Insider, the very reckless words that Jeff Hardy was in rough shape. And you think of Jeff Hardy's history, any Tom, Dick, or Harry that reads that immediately thinks that Jeff Hardy was high or drunk at that WWE house show. Words matter. And when people have some position of power and are very reckless with those words, it's very damaging. That's why you see a lot of what's going on in the media, wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever it is. And it's awful of what goes on. It's terrible. And people don't realize how much they influence others. You know, I don't remember the topic we talked about recently with Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer, and I subscribe to the newsletter, and I like them both. I've always been a supporter of Dave Meltzer, you know, but I remember they said something that I don't remember. Anybody remember what the topic was? And it was so interpreted the wrong way. And what ends up happening is you get hundreds and hundreds of all these little news sites and podcasts that use that as a springboard in their attempts to get noticed, hits, likes, views. And even if the comment said was untrue, I don't remember what it was. But it was something very recent, and it was terrible. And nobody takes responsibility for their careless comments. That's a lot of the reasons why, you know, me over the years, you know, I know there's a lot of people, oh, I wish the old Don Tony was around. Oh, where's that politically incorrect Don Tony? The politically correct, incorrect Don Tony is still here. But I realize, especially doing this now for 25 years, I may not be the biggest show out there, but my words do influence people. And I got to be a lot more careful of what I say, you know, to those out there. And if I could help one person, I don't have to have a quota. I don't have to help 1,000 people. If I could help one person get through some dark times, I did my job. I did what I aimed to do. So you're inspired by what he said, man. Beautiful. And you know there'll always be trolls online that are left out of the conversation that will say something dumb just to get noticed out of it. You're always going to have that. That's never going to go away. You just got to stay away from those people. I'm telling you, everything that Moxley said yesterday was positive. You can be a positive person and inspire others. You don't always have to be a renegade or an outlaw. Moxley's got a very tough exterior. I think we've all figured that out for years. Very, very tough exterior. So to see him get that raw yesterday, believe me, was a lot deeper than I think some casual fans may not even realize. So, yeah. So that's how I feel about Bully Ray's opinion. That's his opinion. I respect it. I disagree with it. I think that's, you know, I feel the right route to go. And we move on. Austin Nance says, I'm a wonderful soul. I'm not a wonderful soul. I'm just a regular person like you and everybody else out there. We're just regular people. I just happen to have had a very, you know, it's funny. You know, I actually was talking to someone the other day and I said, you know, because the person said to me, like, did you ever think you'd be doing this 25 years? And I said, no. And they said, you know, like, why? What made you start it? And I told them the story, you know, my ex and everything like that, my car accident. They knew some of it already, but I said, you know, I guess I've had a lot of free time over the last 25 years to keep doing this. And then the person reminded me, like, no, you did this, 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 and bringing up all the indie wrestling stuff, XPW, VPW, Jersey All Pro, JCW, USA Pro Wrestling, UXW. And it's like, well, maybe I didn't have such a boring 25 years after all. The one thing I will say, that a majority of those 25 years, I was single. I was single. You know, I'm involved with someone now. I'm getting married September 3rd. But, you know, for those first 15 of those years, I pretty much was not in any real serious relationship. So my priorities obviously were a lot different. I mean, in the back of my mind, I still think to myself, you know, if my fiance, you know, if it ever, this show's interfere and she's like, it's me or the shows, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody would expect me to say anything different. But, you know, if she said to me, look, it's either me or the shows, I kick her fucking ass on the street. No. If I had family issues, personal issues, and my fiance, my mom, my dad needed my undivided attention, of course I would have to put the shows aside. The good thing is, I don't think that will happen. I don't think that'll happen. You know, I know some out there don't like, you know, they're used to the 3-4 hour shows from yesteryear. And the fact that I'm doing almost a show every day, you know, I honestly, by the end of 2022, with the exception of Saturday night, because Saturday night is the flagship show. It's turned into that. That show is the reason why I got the deal with Blue Wire. So Saturday night is the flagship show. But by the end of 2022, my goal is to have almost every show run about an hour. I think an hour is fair because when you add Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday, you know, that's 5 shows, 5 hours, not including Saturday night. Saturday night is the show where I'll go longer. So I know chances of it being an hour is going to be very slim. When you do calls on Sunday, so many people call in and have great comics. Of course, I'm going to go longer. But if we could stay under that 90-minute mark for most of the shows, that's my goal for 2022. Seriously. By the way, I'm a little curious. Because a couple of days ago, I was on Julian's podcast, and we were doing watch-alongs of a couple of XPW Deathmatch telling some stories. You know, one in particular, one match, I was there in person. You see me throughout the video. And we had a ball. I was with him for a little over an hour. We had a ball. I mean, we also talked about Tammy and a few other topics. And I will warn everybody in a few moments. I have something that I'm going to say about Tammy. We had a ball. So I'm a little curious. Because another thing that I really want to start doing immediately is I want to start having some guests on shows, some guest co-hosts, collaborate, as a lot of people call it. So I'm curious. for my friends who are live right now, like Les, Rams fan, James, Near, and everybody else tuning in, who is somebody that you would like to see me have on video, you know, to do, you know, an episode in the near future? You know, I don't want to really start getting into the interview side of it for the simple reason that that's been a running thing about yours truly. I don't do interviews. You know, there's a lot of shows out there that all they do is interviews, or half their shows are interviews. And when their numbers come in, you don't know how many people are really tuning in for the guests or tuning in for the hosts. So, but I'm curious. Okay, we got a couple of votes immediately for Jason Solomonster. Okay. You know what? I truthfully believe that if I asked Jason if he wanted to come on, I think he would. I think he absolutely would. You know, he and I are cool. I have no issues with Jason. You know, we differ on opinions in wrestling, you know, over the years, which is fine. But, okay. I could look into Jason. Anybody else? Anybody else? Joey Numbers. I'd like to have Joey Numbers on again. I've only done probably two shows, maybe three in the history, just him and I. And we had some pretty good bangers, man. Joey, you know, is really, really truthfully one of the good guys in the podcasting world that does not get enough props. I really, really mean that. That guy, I mean, you know, his views differ from mine quite a bit, but he is truly someone that really loves wrestling. I mean, a lot of people still don't even know that he referees. I mean, and has done some pretty infamous matches in the Boston area. Joey Numbers is good people, man. Chris Van Vliet. That would be interesting, man. That would be interesting. I mean, look, I like the guy. You know, when I first heard of him and watched him, I thought it was too happy, if that even makes sense. And I think when I first saw him, I think it was really the turning point of me, you know, starting to grow up as a person. You know, and look, this is a criticism about me right now. You know, the first 15 years of me doing this and not having a person in my life and just being a single guy doing what I want, you know, sometimes you don't grow up. I mean, you see it today. You know, you see people now that are in their 50s and 60s and, God, approaching 70, and they haven't grown up. You know, the only thing that has changed in the perception of people's eyes is what they tweet about themselves. I mean, you know, there's always that phrase, where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Where do you see yourself 10 years from now? Believe me when I tell you, if somebody said to me 10 years ago, DT, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? If I would have said to you, podcasting, and that's it, you know, like, that would kind of suck. Now, I didn't expect to meet my fiance. It was very, very, it was pretty unique the way we met. And honestly, if it wasn't for, you know, her being a little persistent, and trust me, that's not an ego about myself. She sent me a couple of DMs and I didn't answer them. And she sent like one last DM and she was like, you know, could you at least like respond? And I felt so guilty, and we started having a conversation. And the truth of the matter is, you know, like, just on the visual of her, I'm like, she wanted to do it with me. You know, she's gorgeous. What the hell am I? You know? So you meet someone when you least expect it. Believe me when I tell you. I mean, my ex that I had that marriage annulled, I told the story how we met. People still don't believe it to this day. You wouldn't even be able to write that in a book. People would be like, that's bullshit. It's weird how sometimes how you meet people. Gallows and Anderson, honestly, there'd be no reason for me to have Gallows and Anderson on. What am I going to say? You know, what was it like, you know, doing this or doing that? There's no real connection. See, you know what? I should have said this earlier. When I have someone on, I want to have casual conversation. I just want to talk about whatever. I don't want to be one of those, hey, you know, back in 1994, you know, you did this. What was your experience like here? Like, I just want to have casual convo. And with Gallows and Anderson, there is no personal, casual tie to it where we could just talk about whatever. See, like, I'm looking forward to having Kenny Boland on because we're going to butt heads about some political stuff, but I absolutely respect the man, you know, and I know we're going to have some fun conversation in the process, but it's casual. That's what I'm looking for. You want to know something, Rams fan? I would love to have Conrad on. You know, a lot of people, you know, say like, oh, DT, you're the podfather. You know, I've been around since 97. You know, look at Con. And I've always said the same answer. In the Italian mafia world, there are more than one godfather. You know, there's always an infamous phrase. The five families, they all got together. Each family has their godfather. So, yes, there is room for more than one podfather. So, I like Conrad. I always got along with Conrad. Mish and I had some deep, deep debates about Conrad in the past. I'm just writing a little timestamp because I think on the replay, I think some people would love to send in some ideas of people they'd like to have on. I see somebody brought up Karrion Kross, Killer Kross. I'd like to have Killer Kross on. I definitely would have very, very casual convo, you know, not invading too much in the privacy department, but, you know, it would definitely not be your typical interview. That's a good one. But what I was going to say about, who are we talking about with guests? Oh, with Conrad. You know, when they did StarCast, and I know some of you may know this story already, but some of you may not. When he did StarCast, Mish and I had some heated debates because they had something called Podcaster's Wall. And basically, there would be a wall and there'd be tables and it's all podcasters. And they all would be able to interview people who were at StarCast. So Conrad had approached me. I still have the DMs. He approached me and he said, would you like to come down? And I said, you know, honestly, I run my own insurance business. I don't know if I could get away for that many days. I would love to come down. I said, I really don't know yet. I said, you know, what am I looking at as far as expenses? And he said to me, he goes, look, just get yourself down here, take care of everything. I was like, it's pretty fucking awesome. So other podcasts out there that only get 10, 20, 30 listeners, if they wanted to be part of Podcasters Row, they had to pay Conrad like, I don't know, $1,000, $2,000. And some of them did. They paid that money. And the argument that Mish and I always had was, you know, that's what the Mass Maniac used to do with his indie wrestling promotion, USA Pro and UXW. That's what he would do. He would always have top stars on his shows. You know, from Scott Steiner to AJ Styles to Raven, he would have the top stars of that time. But if you were someone who is just coming out of wrestling school, or if you're someone that's just, I hate to use the word a scrub, if you want to be on that same show with these larger than life stars, well, how does the Mass Maniac profit off of you? So what would happen is these people would have to guarantee that they would sell 20, 30, 40 tickets. And even if you didn't sell those tickets, you still had to give them the money. So basically what it was like, look, I would love to work the show. You know, all right, no problem. You have to sell 40 tickets. That would come out to like, I don't know, $1,000. I need the money by such and such date. And a lot of wrestlers would come up with it. And they would collect the money, and then they would do like a bullshit battle royal most of the times. Sometimes someone would pay multiple $1,000s to be able to wrestle somebody particularly. I don't remember who it was. Somebody wrestled Kamala. Somebody wrestled, oh shit, who was it? Kamala was one. I can't remember who the other ones were. But this person paid like $3,000. Vince Maniac. How much would it take for me to wrestle so-and-so? And it'd be a squash match. But, you know, that's a bucket list for that person. So when Conrad, you know, is getting inundated with a lot of podcasts that want to be part of Podcasters Row, and they really don't generate any notoriety, how does Conrad benefit from these people? So Conrad would tell him, look, you want to be part of this? You got it. This is the fee. And some people paid it. And I thought there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. If somebody really wanted to be part of it that bad and never had that opportunity, I almost compare it to like fantasy camp. You know, over the years, I'm sure you, for baseball fans out there, that baseball teams have fantasy camps. Oh, you go to Florida for a couple of days, you pay $5,000, and you could play 3 innings of baseball or softball versus, you know, all-time players of your favorite team. 1 year, I almost went to the Mets fantasy camp in Florida. I almost put the money together, and I was going to go. The reason why I didn't, and it was so sad for me, I loved playing baseball. I loved playing softball. If anybody couple of Thursdays ago saw that camping video of me, you saw me hit the 2 home runs. I loved playing softball. That video you saw was from 1994, about 2 years before my car accident. True story. I've never told this before. I had my car accident in 96. This I've told. Broke my hip, broke my pelvis, shattered my ankle. You've seen a lot of the scars. And for a very long time, I had problems walking. I had problems, you know, with a lot of things. So about, I'd say 2 years after my car accident, I was seriously trying to put together money to go to the Mets fantasy camp in Florida. And I had gotten a lot of the money together. Long story short, all my buddies that I used to play softball with, still played softball. And I had talked to one of my friends, and I'm like, hey, how's so-and-so going? How's so-and-so going? And my friend Billy's like, how come you don't come down at all? And I said, you know, I had my accident. You know, I don't know. I mean, I would love to play again. He's like, come on, play. I said, I don't think I could run like I used to. He's like, that's all right. You pitch, you hit. You know, if you can't run, you can't run. We're not a professional league. Just come play. So after about 2.5 years, slightly over 2 years, I showed up, and everybody is, oh, Anthony, what's going on, Blaz? Because my nickname was Blaz, Blazomania. And everybody embraced me, and it felt so good. And I pitched, you know, soft underhand. And then I got up at bat. I couldn't hit the ball. They were under. I mean, literally, if you ever play softball, soft toss, just throwing it underneath. Not trying to strike you out. I couldn't hit the ball. And, you know, I looked at my friend, and my friend's like, you know, and I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, what the fuck? So after about 2-3 innings, I pulled myself out of the game. And they played, and I watched and everything, and I was devastated. I was devastated. So after the game was over, you know, they hang around. They're playing catch. They're still doing stuff and everything. And my friend's like, hey, don't get yourself down. You haven't played in 2.5 years. You had a car accident, almost killed you. You'll get back into it. Take a couple of swings. He's like, come on, take a couple of swings. I'll throw the ball to you. So I said, okay. I grabbed the bat. And every swing that I did, I either missed the ball or I would hit like a grounder, a bullshit grounder. I couldn't get a swing. I couldn't get any reach because when you swing, it's all in your legs. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't hit the ball. And it just devastated me because I was like, that was one of the things that I loved to do more than anything before my car accident. And here I am, somewhat healed, and all they're doing is just underhanding, tossing the ball, and I would hit it down. You know, it's like you're hitting this way. You know, if you watch, remember when I swung last time, it's always up to the fences. And for some reason, just, and I said, I ain't going to Florida. You imagine I go on that field and I start doing that? Who the hell wants me on that team? You want devastating? That was devastating for me at that time. That was 1998 that happened. So, you know, but people do pay to be part, get an opportunity for something that maybe they can't get based on their own, you know, merits or current status. So, Sami Zayn re-signed with WWE. I don't think there was any surprise there. Again, I know a lot of people love to game. I know a lot of people love to go on Twitch. I know a lot of people go on social media and socialize, go on YouTube, do cameos. Not everybody likes to do that. And, you know, as much as people find it appealing to go to AEW for various reasons, I've talked about this before. If you really pay attention of the typical signing that AEW does, you know, there is a certain, like, don't get me wrong, Bryan Danielson doesn't fit that mold, Brody King doesn't fit that mold, others don't fit that mold. But for the most part, you can see that there is a profile that a lot, not every, but a lot of AEW wrestlers meet and match. And you get someone who loves the game, who loves to Twitch and do social media, and they can get revenue there. They get revenue on Cameo. They get revenue here and there. So when you put that all together, and then you get a deal from AEW, you know, you realize, okay, I'm getting very, very little from AEW. But when I add AEW to this, and this, and this, and this, and if I try to get work on the indie circuit and I'm advertised as an AEW star, I get a little extra money out of it. And when you put it all together, it's a nice little nest egg. Now, I know a lot of you took notice of this yesterday. Oh, I saw somebody saying earlier they like my traffic light in the background. Somebody made that for me. That is, if I show you the close-up, I can't show you the close-up right now, but that's, it looks exactly like a traffic light. It's perfectly painted. It works just like a traffic light. It's pretty epic, actually. It's like this big. I always wanted a little traffic light in my background. So, yeah, that's my little traffic light. You know, when the show is over, I'll unplug it and I'll show it to you. It's pretty awesome. You see it closely. I might even be able to plug it in here so you could see it up and close and personal. But yesterday afternoon, and I hinted on Patreon about it, Tuesday night, I told everybody, be prepared. Wednesday, I'm going to bring this up. And I posted it on the preview for yesterday's show about Lio Rush. And I said, okay. I did that with Jay Lethal about a month earlier, and nobody's paying attention to Jay Lethal, and I put it up, and I said, you watch, in a day or two, suddenly everybody's going to be talking about Jay Lethal. So yesterday I did that with Lio Rush. I posted on the preview, Lio Rush has not been on AEW television for 42 days. By the time next week comes around, he will not be on AEW TV for 49 days. Now, I know everybody likes to go to the New Year's Eve tweet that he said in response to Big Swall. That was only 19 days ago. So what's the other 30 days excuse? So I said yesterday, I said, you watch. Now, because I have that comment on YouTube during the day, within a day or two, you're going to see somebody out there that's going to write in big bold letters, what's going on with Leo Rush? Sure enough, yesterday night, that's what happens. Now everybody's talking about, where is Leo Rush? So predictable, man. So predictable. But, all right, I ask you this. Leo Rush is all elite. He's had, what, two matches since he signed? Two? I think two. Do you think he could survive on an AEW contract for these past bunch of months and have two matches and not appear in 42 days? Does anybody ever stop and question, like, how much are they paying this guy? That's why, like I said, nobody confronts AEW about the contracts. If you're on the lower end and you're not used, you get next to nothing. Brian List is now starting to expose about MLW having contracts with wrestlers where they paid them like $200 a month. A fucking month! Just to keep them under a deal until things get a little bit better. So even if they're not used, hey, I get a couple of $100, so what? How does somebody survive as an AEW contracted wrestler and be used almost never? You see any exposure with the Dark Order on TV? What do you see, one or two members once in a blue moon? They wrestle a match where it really doesn't mean much of anything. Some people still think that there is a deep storyline going with Hangman Page and the Dark Order. Where? 6 months from now, Hangman Page is going to hang out and drink with them. Oh, yeah, look, storyline took 2 years to develop. You could see the writing on the wall. There's members of the Dark Order that are going to be out of here soon. I watched a video today about Marco Stunt with GCW. And I laughed, with all due respect. I wish I could put it on you, but I don't want copyright strikes. And it's like, the rebirth, or, you know, I forget, what did he write? Let me see if I can find it. I'll just read you what he said. Let's see. Marco Stunt. Let me see if I can find it. Marco Stunt. There's a video on Twitter right now. I don't remember what his social media account is. But it was like something about a rebirth in GCW. And I'm saying to myself, come on, man. He's like 3'1". I mean, it's like, you know, I could understand some people inspired, but, you know, come on. If this guy was such a special commodity, how come he's not used on AEW TV? At all. You know, let's be a little honest here. Look, I think one of the biggest mistakes AEW did was very early on when they launched and they had Marco Stunt doing spots with some of these established wrestlers, and it looked like a joke. It looked like a joke. I mean, if you'll play wrestling with your 7-year-old nephew, your nephew's not going to be able to do what Marco Stunt was doing. It just was not believable. And give credit to AEW for pulling back on that a little bit, but AEW owes nothing to anybody. So you watch, 2022 is going to be the year where a lot of people are going to be leaving AEW. They're not going to be used much at all. People are going to start realizing that the contracts, you know, are not how they appear. You know, it's a business. It's always been a business. It always will be a business. MLW is the one that's getting exposed the worst right now about their contracts. Nero, I'm going to have Kreplock on my birthday in March. I may order it sooner. It's just that I went back on keto because New Year's Eve, when I ate the pizza and the cannolis, and don't get me wrong, it was fabulous. I loved every bite. But the next day, my face, I had dry skin everywhere. I know this sounds disgusting, but I had dry skin everywhere. My scalp, I literally scratched, and I felt it just, my body just totally reacted bad with that. For 2 days, I could not sleep. One day, I didn't fall asleep till almost 7 in the morning. So if I go off keto, I got to go off it slow. So a couple of days ago, Tuesday, I went and I spent the afternoon and the night with my parents. My mom bought me a roast beef dinner. And it's sliced roast beef, little gravy. I didn't really have much gravy, but it also had carrots, broccoli, and mashed potatoes. I ate about this much of mashed potatoes. And that's a no-no on keto. But I didn't go crazy. So my body really didn't react to it all that much. I retained a little bit of water because, you know, my body reacted a little bit. But, you know, if I do it slowly, then, you know, I mean, I'm seriously considering going off keto and just stay low calorie because I do want to drop another 20 pounds before I get married, at least 15 pounds. So, you know, there's no reason why I can't lose 15 pounds and not be on keto. But, you know, as of right now, I'm going to get it on my birthday. But I may get it sooner, and I'm not kidding either. Hey, man, you know, we took notice of it yesterday. I mean, Moxley, you look at his face. I mean, he dropped a lot of weight. You know, he focused on the gym, and he cut the alcohol out. And he, you know, alcohol also has sugar. You know, it does, you know, have a reaction inside your body. You look at the before he left and after. His face was puffed up like a bowling ball. That's one of the first things you see. I mean, I'm not trying to compare Killer Cross's workout regimen to John Moxley's, but you see Cross now. And Cross, you know, eliminated all carbs entirely, and guy has transformed his body. I mean, like crazy transformed it. I mean, Cross was always in incredible shape, but now he could be on the cover of magazines. That's how much he's transformed his body. See what happens sometimes when you get released from WWE? I'm telling you, remember what I said right after Cross was released? You're going to hear Cross sometime in the near future say that WWE release was the best thing that happened to me. Because sometimes it lights fire under your ass. You get that little taste of making it to the pinnacle of wrestling, whether, you know, you like the politics or you don't, that's still a pinnacle of wrestling. And he got that taste. And trust me, at the end of the day, he wants that taste again under different terms, obviously. And this guy has almost become obsessed with almost showing WWE, you made a big mistake. And guess what? I compared it to Drew McIntyre. I think he will be back in WWE. He will be back. They will realize they made a big mistake. But I will say this, if they do bring him back, I'm sure he will definitely negotiate a little bit of a different contract. So even if they do cut him loose early on financially, I think he'll be even better off than he was the first time around. So, yeah, Scarlett made a magazine cover as well. Well, Scarlett has always been a smoke show for many, many years. She doesn't really have to do much of anything, and she's beautiful. But I'm telling you, sometimes you get let go, you know, and you could see those that sit on their ass and just think that their shit don't stink and they expect everybody to come ringing their phone. And then there are others that are like, nah, man, fuck that. I'm going to go balls out crazy and show the world that my former employer made a massive mistake. And I think that's what's going on with few people right now. Cross, Cardona, you know, just in different ways. There's a lot of people out there that you could see really have amped it up a notch, and they deserve a lot of credit. And then there's others that you just see, and you're like, what's going on with them? It's almost like nothing. It's amazing when you look at the last 2 years of releases WWE has made, and you look at it, and you'd be shocked as to how many people are not doing much of anything. You see their name pop up once in a blue moon, but almost nothing. Almost nothing. I forget who it was earlier. Somebody had asked, Svein, it might have been, I could be wrong, but he asked, like, what's my, just random question, what's my favorite PlayStation 2 game of all time? Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. It's not even close. I love the car racing games like Burnout and the Gran Turismos, but Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was just epic. You know, I'm always into the old arcade games. I still play Ms. Pac-Man. I play Space Invaders. I play Dig Dug. Love freaking Dig Dug. But when I had PS2, man, epic. Next week, I'm going to talk about the 2K22. You know, I'm just trying to get some more information together before we spend a few moments talking about that game. Because I found it funny today, a couple of wrestling news websites, and if you search around, you'll see what I'm talking about. Confirmed roster. WWE 2K22, confirmed roster as of today. And you click on it, and next to a bunch of names, unknown if they will still be released, recently released, unknown if still on the roster. When you write that next to a name, that means they're not confirmed. And they write giant, confirmed. Not everybody's confirmed. Harris B, what the hell is Jamiroquai? That sounds like a band. If I understand correctly, I don't think I have it was. The fact that I'm unsure tells me no. No, we're doing a prediction show very, very shortly, probably in about a week or two. I've talked to Mish about doing it. And we're going to, you know, getting a couple of predictions together. Like I said, my number one prediction is AEW is going to have trios titles. Absolutely. You know, I'd rather have more fun predictions as who's going to be champions of what promotion by the end of the year. By the end of 2022, who will be the champion on Raw? Who will be the champion on SmackDown? I want to do stuff like that. You know, I don't like thinking a whole year in advance because so many things could change in pro wrestling. Look, there's going to be a couple of people that are in AEW right now that will be in WWE. I'd have to listen to their work, Harris, to tell you if I used to enjoy them. Then the band sounds very familiar. But I'd have to listen to it. I obviously couldn't do it here live on the show. By the way, if you notice, I turned Super Chats off again. I mean, you're a channel member here. You've already helped by becoming a channel member. There's no reason why you should have to super chat on a channel member show. So that's why it's off today. Just wanted to make mention of that. Gunther Stark. I think we all expected this. I think we all, it's like Captain Obvious. I'm just surprised that the trademark commission was able to update it that quickly. WWE realized how much they screwed up by requesting a trademark for Gunther Stark. So they contacted the U.S. trademark and they withdrew their request for Gunther Stark. They are now going to use just the first name for Walter. He will be known as Gunther. Walter has posted Gunther everywhere on his social media. And look, man, I know what I'm about to say is going to be unpopular, but I don't care. I never cared. I'm not saying Gunther is a perfect name. And it sucks that we know the original origin of the name. Let's also keep in perspective that WWE did not know they were trademarking a Nazi name. Walter did not know they were trademarking a Nazi name. It was not deliberate. I still would love to be a fly on a wall to see how they came up with the last name Stark. And I think that is more interesting than anything else. But, you know, I saw today, every time Walter and I'm being serious about this. This is the difference between someone who respects pro wrestling and respects wrestlers and tries to help them take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad. And then there's people out there that just want to, you know, have a social media presence and be a renegade and always try to be like, every time Gunther, I like to say Gunther, just like, remember Gigi Dolan? I said her name should be pronounced not Gigi Dolan. It should have been Gigi Dolin. Could you imagine her doing a vignette with the rose, little silhouette, black and white, and it's like a little bit dark with moonlight, and she's talking about herself, and you hear Gigi Dolin. It sounds French. I thought that would have been a million times better than Gigi Dolin. But you see, like Gunther, I like Gunther. Gunther. That's, it sounds international, Gunther. I am Gunther. But you see what's happening today? Every time Walter posts something under that name, he's getting inundated with thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are writing Walter. They will not accept it. To me, that shows no respect to him. The guy works for an entertainment company. We have watched many movies over the years where the character's name in the movie is ridiculously stupid. Or it's like, where the fuck did they come up with that name? But we enjoy the movie anyway, and we enjoy their acting work. He is part of an entertainment company. WWE wants to create, you know, this character so they could, you know, use it and market it. And they own that trademark. See, I understand why some people are like, well, wait a minute. Didn't WWE do something with his name a couple of years ago? His first name is really Walter. If WWE kept it Walter, when he leaves WWE, WWE cannot buy the rights and stop him from using his own name. So WWE wants to use their own trademark, their own character. So when he leaves, you cannot use that name. I mean, this is a $1 billion company. Do people actually think that they're going to be careless and say, all right, we'll just leave him Walter. Everybody likes that. And then when he leaves, he can still call himself Walter and we can't do anything about it. Come on. You know, if you're going to be a wrestling fan and you don't like the name, totally respect it. Totally respect it. When you got people out there that are journalists and do shows and everything like that, and they're supposed to be smarter and understand WWE is trying to create intellectual property for WWE. And they can't do it by leaving his name Walter because that's his first freaking real name. And if he leaves, they could still use his first real name. And WWE can't do nothing about it. But come on. You know, the fact that WWE is trying to create intellectual property, you know, if you really support Walter, stop trying to diminish. You know, he's trying to take this and build on it, and it's not a horrendous name. Sure, the backstory behind it sucks because people always think, oh, he was named after a Nazi. Whether intentional or unintentional, that's the fact, and that sucks. But to me, Gunther, if there was never any Nazi reference to it, Gunther sounds international. Gunther, I think, is fine. What do you want them to call him? Larry? What do you want to call him? Give me a good international name other than Walter, other than his real-life name that you would be fine with. Gunther is a little unique. We have not had too many Gunthers in the world of pro wrestling. It's one name. Let's just hope that he's utilized the right way. That's what I'm concerned about. Volta. that sounds like a vampire. I am Volta. You want to see me Volta? I'm going to... Volta. See, the problem with Volta is, how do you spell it? Some people would spell it V-A-L-T-E-R. Some people would spell it V-A-U-L-T-E-R. I am Volta. Volta. And you know what's funny? Some people who are international that have the name Walter, they probably pronounce it like that. I am Volta. I am Volta. Trust me, I can picture the fans going, Gunta, Gunta, Gunta. Whatever you want to use. I like Gunta. It just sounds really deep international. Gunta. I am Gunta. You know, I had to clarify to somebody the other day. I think it was Hassan Al-Hashmi. He was showing me some pictures of Summer Rae, who was in Abu Dhabi recently. And she wore a bikini. She looked hot. And he's like, oh, I got a kick out of your impersonation of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Remember? Crown Prince, who do you want to win? Here's the list of WWE women that could be queen.
Oh, give me Queen Zelina.
And he's like, oh, nice impersonation. I said, do you realize? He wasn't trying to be, you know, nefarious about it. I said, do you realize I used that same impersonation for Andrade, Alberto? I used that same impersonation for Tony Khan's dad, Shad Khan. I use it for everybody. So it's not, you know, I just use that.
Give me more. Tell me, give me more.
We did it yesterday, Andrade. I now own the AFHO, now known as the AFHO. AS7607, shout out to you. Intimate audience tonight because we don't have a huge channel member family over here. And the fact that you are members of my channel family, I always want to make sure that you get something good out of this. I know there's a lot of channels that you get an emoji or just a thank you. And that's cool. That's cool. But I always feel that, you know, you definitely should get more than what you expect. So for elite members, you get the Q&A. We do the contests every month. Shout outs, you know, other things for our members of the family. You also get the Patreon show that we do. And, you know, I'll say this again, you know, for the two or three patrons that are a little upset that I post a Patreon episode here, I answer that back publicly with two things. Number one, I don't see anybody here complaining when I post these Q&As on Patreon. You know, they like the members only, you know, the Q&A over there. And the second thing is, there's like seven people here that are in the family that get the Patreon episode that are not Patreons. Seven. So, you know, that's why sometimes, you know, I would never take things away because of two or three people. But sometimes, like, man, you know, you give people blood sometimes and it's not enough. But, you know, the fact that you became a channel member here, you know, I think it's only right. Trust me, I got a lot of DMs, people pissed off about the Thursday show. What the fuck? I can't watch it. You know, I got to pay for it. And I'm like, look, you know, I'm not trying to do a money grab. You could sign up for $1.99 a month. And it's not just access to the show. There's other things as well. If that's not in within your means, you know, you got the audio-only version. It's just I think some people out there just, everything's got to be for nothing or nothing at all. And, you know, it is what it is. Rams fan, I don't consider it double-dipping with Patreon because, number one, the Patreon is very, very small. It's about 20% the size of what it was several years back. And, you know, we still have content there that is not available anywhere else. We still do contests there. Plus, everybody on Patreon gets ad-free episodes of every show that I do. So believe me, I'm not going to start adding up, but even with Blue Wire, Blue Wire is not extremely thrilled that I have a video version of these shows, because everybody that watches the video version is one less person accessing it through their network. When I have the Patreon and everybody's accessing, you get 5 shows a week ad-free, and you multiply that by whoever. That's a lot of downloads. So it's not double dipping, believe me. And sooner or later, that Patreon is going to be over and done with. I'm not looking to shut it down, but sooner or later, it's going to be shut down. So, you know, if that happens, you know, there'll always be an outlet here. But no, they're totally separate. One has nothing to do with the other. So, I don't know. Anyway, who else do we got to talk about tonight? Oh, Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali! Let's talk about Ali. I'm just writing little... Okay. Mustafa Ali. There are reports going around today. Oh, and by the way, just a random thing that I know some of you will laugh at. And yes, I will actually put it as a timestamp. Word to the wise, women, men, never shave your armpits with a trimmer. I shaved tonight. I bought myself a brand new razor for Christmas. I had a Norelco for about 8 years, and I bought a Braun Strowman. I bought a Braun, and I also bought a trimmer. So tonight, I took a shower. I shaved. I looked, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it's a little gray up here. I said, hey, let me get the trimmer. Let me just trim a little. You know, when you start getting hair over here, you know, it's not, like, nice, especially you go out to dinner and you're wearing a T-shirt, and there's, like, a little, look, you see I'm pulling hair right here. That's what happens when you get a little older. So I grabbed the trimmer, and I trim most of here. I look at my arms. I don't know if you can see the red. Can you see the red? See that? I look at my armpits, and I'm like, you know, I never really shaved my armpits before. It's like this giant hair. It looks like a 70s porn star's bush. So I take the trimmer, and then afterwards, I'm like, why does this hurt? Look, you see the red? I'm not kidding. Look at all that red. That's not a joke. Never, ever, ever trim your armpits with trimmers, because now I have cuts on both of my arms, and I'm like trying to sit like this. I'm trying to like get comfortable. As soon as the show is over, I'm going to put ice in a like a Ziploc, and I'm going to literally put them under my armpits overnight. So, yeah, we randomly talk about shit on here sometimes. So, Scorpio 1117. WWE 2K22 or the AEW video game, which am I planning on playing? If you force me to choose one or the other, I would choose WWE 2K22. Because, number one, the creativity that you could do with that video game is next to none. I've already watched some of the modes with the drafts, which look epic. People have done creative wrestlers and actually have created me in the game in the past, and they looked amazing. I'm not saying that the AEW game is going to suck, but I'll be honest with you. I've brought this up many times before. We have had disappointments over the years when a new wrestling video game would come out. Legends of Wrestling was, I thought, a disappointment. I couldn't wait to bring that game home and play as superstar Billy Graham and some others. I played this, I'm like, this is awful. But the worst of the worst, and I'm sorry for anybody that knows this already, I got to say it, the ECW video game. I was a hardcore ECW fan. I had the opportunity to work for them in a very small capacity for the last year they were in existence, I obsessed over ECW. When they came out with their first video game, I had it on back order. I couldn't wait to play it. I remember that whatever on sale date it was, I kept counting down the days. And at that time, I played lots more video games than I did now. And when that ECW game came out, I will never, ever forget it. I took it home. I put it in the machine. And I know for a fact that my brain and my heart was doing everything possible to convince me that this game was awesome. I played it, and I swear to God, after a half an hour, reality just sunk in, and I'm like, this is fucking awful. This was just awful. And it was just a massive, massive disappointment. I remember a TNA game coming out, and it was pretty awful as well. I didn't play it like the ECW. I didn't have the anticipation like the ECW game. But a lot of games that have come out that are brand new, you know, they always come off awful. Now, do I think the AEW game is going to be a disappointment? I'm not saying that, because in this day and age, with how technology has advanced so greatly, you know, if they keep the gameplay simple and they're more concerned about the look of it and how smooth the gameplay is without having 50,000 options attached to it, the game could turn out to be one of the best games that we have had in a very long time. I mean, look, the realism is always a great thing, but if you have glitches and the gameplay sucks and it's just not fun, I don't care how good something looks. You know, you're not going to enjoy it. So AEW, and I really believe AEW will keep it simple. They can have custom arenas. They can have some creator wrestler. They can have, you know, but if they focus strictly on the gameplay and the aesthetics, the look of it is decent, it doesn't have to be almost lifelike. I mean, you look at the the WWE 2K22 graphics, it's amazing. But that means nothing if the gameplay is awful. So if AEW really avoids the temptation of getting really, really like deep into like the GM modes and stuff like that, if it's more arcade, I think they will hit a home run with it. But still, right now, I'm more excited about the WWE game. So, yeah, I have some plug-and-play games inside. I have a WWE plug-and-play game inside. I have, like, the, you know, the Miss Pac-Mans. Phoenix is another game I used to love playing, too. I have a lot of plug-and-plays. Because when I used to have my boat, you know, the TV I had on the boat, you know, you had RCA jacks in the back. So you take the plug and play. It's usually the yellow plug for video, the red plug for audio, and that's it. You play on your TV. So I still have my pinball plug and play. Some of those plug and plays are worth a lot of money now. So there's some good plug and play games. Mortal Kombat is good. AS7607. Mortal Kombat is classic. I know I posted a video recently of me playing Miss Pac-Man. You give me a good old arcade game, I'm fine. I mean, when we used to have the old 1-2-3 chat room, we used to have some online video games that you could play. That was something when I told Mish when had the old chat room, I said, I definitely want an area where people could play games. I thought that was so important. We need an area where people could play games. So I'm still waiting for people who want to play Monopoly on Steam. You know, I have Uno, and, you know, I haven't gotten any friend requests from anybody on Uno. But if you are on Steam and you play Uno, send me a friend request, Don Tony D, and we will kick ass in Uno. I'm ranked at the 50 level, and I think even they have assigned me the name King of the Mountain, something like that. So No Mercy was great. Maddens were awesome. NBA Jam. Boom shakalaka. He's on fire. I freaking loved NBA Jam. NBA Jam was my shit back in the day. Patrick Ewing and John Starks. That was awesome. Man, I think I'm going to play some retro games after we're done here. Because we're almost done. We're already gone 76 minutes. But we still got to talk about Mustafa Ali. The WCW games were pretty good back in the day. Those were pretty damn good. The one that had Raven on the cover, I don't remember if that was NWO Revenge or whatever it was, or it might have been WCW versus the World. That's a pretty good games back then. Oh, yeah, NBA Jam playing with Bill Clinton. Sure. I played FIFA Soccer a little bit. I played FIFA Soccer. I don't remember if it was 98, FIFA 98. For some reason, that game is coming to my mind, but I played the early years of FIFA, and I used to love the crowds, and obviously, that's when the sound effects weren't as good as they were now, but you would start getting on the other side of the field in enemy territory, and the crowd starts getting louder, and you, a lot of fun, man. MLB Slugfest, no, not that much. I want... More than anything, I want an MLB game where you could just play legends, legendary teams. I mean, I know that there's a few where you could have legends, but I always wanted to play it like the 86 Mets. I always wanted to play like the 78 Yankees. I always wanted to play like the 98 Yankees. There's a lot of teams I would love to play, but we don't have, I mean... That simulator game that I used to play a lot, I ended up uninstalling it because it turned into a crazy cash grab more than anything. If Italy doesn't qualify, would I watch the World Cup? Yeah, probably not, unless I was with my fiance's father. He loves to watch soccer. I can't get into it for some reason. MVP 04 was good. 05 was good. I remember the Madden games, and I'm talking about back in like the 90s. Oh my God, when the Lakers and the Celtics were the shit, even with the basketball games. Chris S. is watching old WWE episodes of 05, saw the Eddie Guerrero tribute episode, made him tear up. What's my favorite tribute WWE made? Well, see... That's kind of a tricky question because tributes of people passing, none of them are my favorite because it was so sad. But of all the episodes that were really sad, the Owen Hart episode always got to me the most. The Eddie Guerrero one obviously got to me as well. The thing is, without being cold towards Eddie, you know, when Eddie passed, and I was podcasting at the time, when Eddie passed, a lot of people almost immediately said steroids. I mean, honestly, that's what most people said. You look at Eddie Guerrero's last days in WCW and how cut that guy was. It was, I don't even think you could get that cut if you tried. And Eddie Guerrero, everybody cried. I cried, everybody cried. But a lot of people, in the back of their mind, immediately thought of a reason why. A lot of people felt that if Eddie didn't do what he did, there'd be a good chance he'd still be here. We don't know that as a fact. We're not Father Time. With Owen Hart, though, straight-up accident, still remember where I was when it happened. Don't have my hotline episode at that time. I didn't think of even taping them at that time, but that was, I don't know, maybe because it was the first tribute show that, you know, because there was other tribute shows over the years, but as far as televised goes, that, maybe because of that one. But I did like Chavo versus, I think he took on Triple H that night. I thought that was nice. It was a nice moment. They're all sad. they're all said. I don't have a favorite one or the other, but the Owen Hart one, I think, affected me more than any, to be honest with you. AS7607 heard that Ric Flair did a live watch along with the Royal Rumble. Do you know today is the anniversary of Ric Flair winning that Royal Rumble? With a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. He revealed who was the person smoking the cigarette. Who was the person? It's got to be just a production person. Put that cigarette out. That was pretty awesome. That's my favorite Royal Rumble match of all time. I mean, we were talking about it. I don't know if it was Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday on Patreon. You know, when John Cena made the surprise entry at 30, I think in 2008, that one was epic too. Because that night, I hosted a Royal Rumble party at my house. Had a lot of indie wrestlers at my house. And we watched it, ate pizza, hung out. And I could honestly tell you that when Cena came out at number 30, every person that was in my house, and all of them were wrestlers, men and women, they all popped. Holy shit! Cena's back! Everybody loved it. Everybody loved it. So that was an awesome memory. But for me, 92. Oh, happy birthday, Juan Fall. Today's his birthday. Much love. Happy birthday. Triple H versus Benoit was on SmackDown. Yeah. The Benoit was weird, but understandable. We did not know at that time that he had committed double murder. I mean, I know my podcast that night is one of the eeriest podcasts ever done, period. And it's still online. We started the podcast paying tribute to Benoit. By the end of the show, we were spitting on him because news started coming down as the show was in progress. By the way, Bob the Builder, he asked yesterday, I know some of you heard, he's been asking me to put up the podcast episode when CM Punk appeared on Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling and trashed WWE and Dr. Amon. I couldn't sleep last night. So I said, let me grab it. So I threw it online. So if any of you out there have wanted to check out that vintage DTKC episode, it is online. If you go to DonTony.com, it's right there on the first page. You can download it, check it out. Yeah, I mean, look. Wrestlers wailing and crying, this was their dear friends, no matter who passed away. You know, it's their dear friends. I mean, for some people, you know, it's devastating, man. It's death. It's usually not good. You know, it's sad. I mean, you know, people handle deaths a little bit differently. You know, sometimes someone doesn't cry, and other people will find them weird. Like, wow, this person not crying, not showing it. People handle it differently. I told you, in my family, and this is Italian tradition, some of you may have the same tradition. When my grandmother died on my mom's side, when my grandparents died on my dad's side, when my aunt died not too long ago, it's an Italian tradition. You know, we have the wake, we have the funeral. And after the burial ceremony is done, we all go to a restaurant and we all eat and we try to laugh and share fun memories of the person. So I don't know if any of you out there do the same, but that's been a tradition in my family forever. I remember my grandmother on my dad's side more than anything. After the funeral was over, we went to, it was a restaurant called Niederstein's that was in Middle Village. It's now closed down. I remember there was about 40 of us, and everybody's laughing, having fun, this and that. And it was just to think of the positive, the fun memories. I mean, once the dinner was over, there was a lot of tears shed, but we tried to remember the good, the positive. So I will tell you right now on record, if I ever pass tragically, suddenly, And it's not like a drawn out process where I'm up here and I'm like saying my goodbyes to everybody. I want a fucking 12-hour marathon with every podcaster out there. Even the ones that didn't like me. I want everybody to do. I want someone, Mish. We'll put the on Mish's shoulders because Mish will do it. He's not lazy. Mish, you got to host a 12-hour marathon. You got to get every podcast you possibly can to come on there and talk about me, good, bad, or otherwise, and do Super Chats. And any money that is raised on Super Chats, we got to donate it to a charity. You know, we got to donate it to a charity. What that charity is, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, Stephanie's was edited out because didn't she bring up like 9/11? Like what happened to her? She compared like, no, that was the 9/11 one. That's not a, well, that was deaths. That was a couple of thousand deaths. But yeah, Stephanie comparing what happened with 9/11 to her family. A lot of people get angry when I remind everyone that Gabe Sapolsky compared the Ring of Honor situation to 9/11. Near, you're going to sleep. Good night, my friend. Hope all is well. I want to hear that you kicked chemo's ass completely. And I hope everything is doing well in Israel. Not just peace with Palestine, but COVID as well. I see some of the numbers going on. I think this Omicron, I think the worst is over. I mean, exactly what's happening now in the UK and it's starting to happen in the United States is what happened in South Africa. As quickly as it went up, it's going back down. And I hope so. I hope so. You could see that the world is starting to prepare this to turn from a pandemic to an endemic. It's going to linger for a few years, but, you know, I think the worst is over. I really believe that. And I'm not just saying it to try to make people feel more positive. I really believe the worst is over. I honestly feel, no joke, everything we've talked about with COVID since February of 2020, my God, it's almost 2 years of talking about this. Since February of 2020, I think we have been accurate. Not because we're talented, not because you and I are smart, it's because we paid attention. And we really tried to learn and tried to understand it and not have the emotional side of it take over. Because you let the emotional side of anything take over and it can cloud, you know, you looking at something. You look at something with an open mind and you try to understand it. You know, when you talk to other people about it, you know, you come off as like, wow, this person knows everything. Well, that's because we all paid attention and we watched and we tried to learn and understand. It's amazing how much COVID, this pandemic for the last 2 years, how it almost mimics 1919 and 1920. It's scary how similar they are. It's scary. I will tell you this. I don't know if it's going to become a major story, but be prepared. Be prepared if it does. Without getting into the whole thing, then we'll talk about Ali and then we'll get out of here. There is something called Freedom of Information Act. It's not just in the United States. It's overseas as well in some countries. Freedom of information. That you have a right to get specific information about certain things. Obviously, you don't have any right to get classified information, but freedom of information. And there's been a group that's been trying to get specific information about COVID for quite some time. And they kept running into roadblocks. Another organization got involved. They tried to get information, kept running into roadblocks. Then another organization got involved and got it. You're going to hear very, very soon a claim that the number of deaths reported and blamed on COVID might have been grossly exaggerated 5, 6, 7, 9 times too many. What do they mean by that? And this is very early. You probably haven't heard any about this yet, but I try to really stay on top of things. And this is a rumbling that it may turn into nothing, but it may turn into something. What they're claiming, and you might remember this, about a year and a half ago in the summertime of 2020, you might remember on one of the episodes I did, I said, you know, my niece said something today that was a little bit odd, and she said that the hospital that she worked at the time, that even if you died from a heart attack, complications from cancer, stroke, other illnesses, if you had COVID, they blamed it on COVID. She said that they were doing this. And at the time, I found it a little bit interesting. I didn't believe it, but we talked about it on one of the episodes. So now this Freedom of Information Act, it might have been in the UK, has discovered that it could be as many as 8 or 9 times the numbers were exaggerated. And what they mean, for example, is this. Again, this is just, it hasn't really come out yet. Let's say you have 100,000 deaths that have been blamed on COVID. What a claim is starting to come out now is if you look for the number of deaths of that 100,000 that was only COVID, the person was in fine health, no comorbidities, no secondary serious issues, just caught COVID and died from it. How many of that 100,000 did that pertain to? And the early report was that it was like 17,000 out of 100,000. So that ends up being true. And you hear about 1 million deaths with COVID. And then somebody's going to start making the accusation that of those 1 million deaths, that maybe only 200 or 300,000 of them were people that were in perfect health, got COVID and died from it. And that is going to be really interesting what happens, because you see what's going on, especially here in this country. You know, I consider myself more of an independent than a Republican, and I believe in the vaccine. And I respect those that don't want to get it, but I believe in the vaccine. And I never in 1 million years ever thought that it would become this divided about it. Now, if that ends up being remotely true, number one, medical industry are going to be accused of inflating the numbers to bank from it. You're also going to see people accuse politicians for inflating the numbers to have more power. You're going to see people accusing that by inflating the numbers that they use that as leverage to force people to be vaccinated. It's crazy shit. It's crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So again, this has not become a big story yet, but you might want to pay attention to it a little bit if you hear about this, because this may end up being a major, major, it may end up being nothing, but it's something that I have indirectly looked at. And I was always curious what those numbers are, and the numbers are starting to come out. And if it's accurate, this is a giant scam, worldwide scandal, worldwide. Paul Orndorff's son started a podcast, Some Kind of Wonderful. I like the name. I like the name. He interviewed Garrett Bischoff, Jenny Santana, and Fallon Toombs. That's the daughter of Roddy Piper, right? I think that's Roddy Piper's daughter. That's good. That's good. I mean, if Travis is doing this for the love of wrestling, keep his dad's memory a little bit more alive, and maybe it just makes him happy. That's a good thing. See, that's the one thing about these shows that I've always said. You know, the sad thing about podcasts in wrestling in 2021 is that a majority of people do it with two intentions: make money and be famous. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But unless you have some unbelievable quality about yourself, it is going to take years and years and years and years to do that. And unfortunately, a lot of people, it doesn't. I'll never forget, I don't want to say who it is, but I'll never forget someone who launched a podcast not too long ago and was asking me for a whole boatload of advice. And I told him, I said, look, you know, this is my opinion, this and that. I'm like, look, if you're going into it, you know, expecting to break the bank, you know, trust me, it took me 20-something years to start seeing any type of money coming back from this. I said, you got to do it because you love it. People will be able to tell if you're doing it because you love it or you're doing it because you just want to get famous and make money from it. Because when that doesn't happen, then you see all the excuses. My internet is down. My computer is down. I have a glitch. I have an update. This is not working. You see people that have that excuse all the time. And it's just the fact that they're just not feeling it that day because they know they're not going to make no money off of it, that they're not getting noticed off of it. So this person set up his show, and I checked out the first episode. I didn't think it was bad. Within 2 days, he had a Patreon set up. Hey, everybody, join my Patreon. Get this. And I'm like, guy doesn't get it. Right now, I think he has like 16 subscribers. This is about, I'd say about 7 months now, 16. And you could see, you know, I mean, already excuses. Oh, I want to do it today, but, you know, and I hate when people blame it on mental health when you know it's not mental health. That seems to be the cheap way out for some people. Hey, you know, I'm battling some real hard, and you know some people really are, but man, these days people just immediately run to that as a way out, and you really can't challenge it because you never know if somebody's telling the truth or not. But man, it's just suddenly everybody, it's a little mind-boggling. So anyway, let's finish up with Ali. I'm just writing a timestamp. Okay. Apparently, Ali is, okay, I got to be careful how I say this because I want to say this the right way. I saw a lot of websites today cursing out WWE because it was reported that Ali has not been granted his release. Okay. They do not have contacts in WWE. They're not friends with Ali. They're basing it on the fact that Ali tweeted this on Sunday. It is now Thursday, and we have not seen Fightful or anybody else say that Adel Alam has been granted his WWE release. They just looked at their watch. Hey, man, it's been 4 days. WWE, what the fuck? That's fucked up. You're not giving him a release. That's why these articles came out. They're just looking at their watch. They're seeing that it's 4 days gone by. It's like that meme with the cat. You know the one I'm talking about? That's what these reports are on. WWE, after 4 days, has not released them. That's just figuring out time. Now, James is asking me, tournaments on Patreon. A couple of things. Number one, we took a break from tournaments on Patreon because we did it for 8 months straight. And, you know, we want to keep it fresh. So for a week or two, we're not doing them. But, I can put those tournaments in the channel section here. Sure, why not? We could do mini ones, of course. So the next one we do, I'll put it in the community section for our channel members, and yeah, we could do it there. That's easy. As far as predictions contests, you know, I mean, the prediction contest on Patreon is just a little way of having fun and everybody taking part and just, you know, but it's not something you get from being a member. Like, if you look at being a channel member here on YouTube also, you don't get contests for being a channel. We do contests. I will always do contests. But when you start getting people, hey, man, where's the contest? Like, that's when people start expecting it all the time. That's when you realize, okay, you know, you got to pull back a little bit. But, yeah, Next week, yeah, we will. I can put the tournaments on the channel members on YouTube. We could do our own little mini-com. We could compare the two. That'll be fun. We could see. We, in fact, you know, the wrestling match type tournament, even though I think we know what the end result would be, I think I could put that on YouTube for everybody, but I think you know who's going to end up winning that. So maybe one of the tournaments from the past, maybe the theme music, maybe I'll put that one on YouTube because I still have the polls. I mean, all I have to do is just reset the voting. So, yeah, I like that. The more I think about that, I like that a lot. Good looking, James. Good looking. Yeah, we will do that. Before we get into Muhammad Ali, AS7607 is the worst Royal Rumble match of all time. I don't have one, and that's not a cop-out. When you have 30 people entering, there's always fun moments. We may not like the outcomes, who wins, if it's too predictable. You know, there really isn't a horrible Royal Rumble match. I really don't have one. And I could say this with honesty, believe me. I have done Royal Rumble recaps going back to the late 90s. And if I did a recap of one and just called the match the drizzling shits, I would not only remember, but I'd have people bringing it up to this day. So no, I don't have a Royal Rumble match that I would say I thought was awful. You know, obviously some have been a trillion times better than others. Someone asked me the other day on Patreon, my favorite one in the last 10 years, and it was the one that Nakamura won. Simply because everybody and their mother, including me, thought that Roman Reigns was winning it, and they gave it to Nakamura. It was a surprise. But usually the Royal Rumble, I mean, that's a match that you can't screw it up. I mean, there's been moments where, you know, somebody's outside the ring for most of the match, and we're supposed to forget about them, and, you know, but there really has not been a bad one. So, like I said, some are not as good as others. Yes, 93, especially coming off of 92, you know, it wasn't going to come close, but I always find something good in all of them. There's always some memorable moments. So let's wrap this up with Ali. So, again, those online writing about this as news, they're just looking at the calendar and like, hey, it's 4 days. They didn't release them. That's fucked up. Well, you know, number one, Ali signed a contract. And I know what you're going to say. These contracts are garbage. Until the wrestlers stop signing them, until their agents stop telling them to sign them, the contracts are not shit. Period. He signed a deal to stay for a few more years. It's obvious that Ali, signing the deal, wants to stay in WWE. But Mustafa Ali has not had the opportunities that he expected to have. He has spent a lot of time honing his craft, trying to build interest, trying to help with the character storylines, and it's not been received at all. That is very frustrating. You go to your employer, you come with all of this, and it's almost like they ignore you. So who wants to work for a company like that? But I say this. Maybe WWE now is sitting down with Mustafa Ali, and maybe they're having discussions on what they can do with his character. Remember what I said last week, that his New America storyline is excellent. It might be too complicated in 2022 WWE. This is not defending WWE. Look at their storylines. Look at this storyline. Use Miz and Maryse versus Edge and Beth Phoenix. It started with Miz and Edge just cracking jokes on each other. Then the women got involved, and now we got a birthday party, and you know there's going to be cake in somebody's face, cake in Tony Storm's face. It's lighthearted, madcap Moss cracking jokes, poo-poo this, new poo day this. You know, the storylines in WWE right now are very, very kindergarten-like. They're simple. It's simple. I don't think they want any over-the-top, extremely detailed, complicated, controversial storylines. They're not doing retribution stuff anymore. Now it's, hey, feel good TV. Everybody has a smile. Everybody has a good time. We're getting out of COVID. Good, 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 good. So maybe WWE is trying to figure out what they can do with Mustafa Ali. And maybe this convinces him to stay. So when people are like, oh, that's fucked up, they're not letting him out of his contract, motherfucker's still getting paid. The guy signed a contract to take care of his family. If he lived out the rest of his contract and was on TV every week, and he lived out the rest of his contract and he was off TV every week, his base salary is the same. So when people just talk about, oh, they're doing what they did to Gallows and Anderson and FTR and others, this and that, motherfucker's getting paid still. So WWE would be stupid to have somebody on the payroll and do nothing with them. So maybe Mustafa Ali, although going to social media might not have been the most professional way to do it, maybe now Mustafa Ali has gotten WWE's attention. So he leaves that job and he finds bullshit opportunities elsewhere. That doesn't help him all that much. If he goes back to being in law enforcement, how does that make us enjoy him as a wrestling fan? He's got to do what is necessary for him and his family. So if he works out something with WWE, even if they put him in a different storyline or put him in NXT or did something, if they could work something out where he is happy and he is able to show a little bit of creativity, that's a good thing. There's a lot of people out there that refuse to have that option. If Mustafa Ali stays, they put him back on TV, and he ends up doing something great, you're going to have a boatload of people on the net that are going to be like, no, 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 no. Quit, quit, release him. Quit, quit, release him. Release him. No, no, no. You pay whatever money he loses when he's gone from there. These guys and gals know where they're working, who they're signing with when they do these deals. They're the ones that decide to go there. They're the ones that decide to stay there. They're the ones that decide to go back years later. There's not too many people, when WWE is interested in them years later, not too many people that go on social media and say, hey, WWE released me 6 years ago, 2 years ago. Now they want me back. Here's my answer. Fuck you. How many people have done that? Almost none. So let's see what happens. Right now, he is not released. Me, I would rather see them try to figure out a happy medium where he could stay and maybe, you know, do some type of hybrid of what he wanted to do. And we'll go from there. So, guys, gals, it's been real. It's been fun. Absolutely love, you know, this intimate audience that we have. You know, if anybody out there wants to become a channel member, no pressure. All you have to do on any of the videos on YouTube, if you see the word join, just click that join button in the description area. It always says if you want to be a channel member, click here. You could sign up. There's two tiers. One is $1.99. The other one is $4.99. Depends on how much extra content you want. But no matter which one you sign up, you know, you get this show and you get others. So, and that's it. I thank you very much as always. And see, we could have a very small live audience and still have kick-ass conversations. absolutely love hanging out with you guys and gals. And have a great Friday. Enjoy SmackDown. Enjoy Rampage. Dynamite's rating came in. And maybe not as high as we thought it would be with the anticipation of Jon Moxley returning. But 1,032,000 viewers is nothing to be quiet about. That's a great number. I know some demos, they did great, but for me, I always look for overall viewership because, you know, that's to me what matters more than anything. Again, the demos should be the concern of the promotion, the network, and the advertisers, not johnswrestlingnews.com, you know, in my opinion. These people gush over that more than the networks, more than the promotions themselves. So, but great rating, great rating, great show yesterday. And enjoy your Friday. Stay safe. If you're around Saturday night, I will be here Saturday for the Don Tony Show. I want to give you a little warning before I go. I will have a little bit to say Saturday about Tammy Sitch. No, I am not kicking someone while they're down. I don't do that. But I will say this. I had a really, really, really deep conversation today with Johnny Candido, Chris Candido's brother. Johnny Candido, one of the good guys in wrestling, brother of Chris, who's no longer with us. I talk to Johnny online so often. I still feel terrible that I didn't have him on last year to talk about the book. I have told you in the past when they did the documentary on Chris Candido, Johnny wanted me to be in it. And I said no. And he's like, come on, bro. Tell some of the stories that this story still I've never made public. He's like, bro, share the stories. Let everybody know the friendship you have with my brother. And I'm like, nobody wants to look in a video and you see all these famous ECW people and you see me. They're gonna be like, what's this guy doing on here for? So I said, no. And yes, I regret it. I regret it. I should have just showed the love for Chris and I should have been on it, but I didn't. But he and I had a very, very, very serious conversation today about the situation with Tammy. And I won't get into much in the specifics department. And I promise you, this is not kick Tammy while she's down. But I have to say something on Saturday that I think is something that is the right thing to say about the situation with her. Because last week when we talked about it, we talked about how, you know, she probably needs some interaction and maybe more in the field of psychology. There's depression. There's a lot of things. But, you know, when you understand a little bit more of what has gone on that has never been made public, it gets to a point where everybody can do everything they possibly can to try to help someone. But until that person wants to help themselves and wants to realize that they themselves have a problem, there's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink. At this point, I don't know if anything else can be done for Tammy. I will talk about it more on Saturday. It's going to be a pretty serious conversation. It's not going to be nasty, but it gets to the point. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is simple. If you look at the comments from the post that I did last week, that hit home for a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there who have been in a toxic relationship. There's a lot of people out there who knew someone very, very close who was in a toxic relationship. Other people out there that have never seen or been in one don't understand what that could lead to. And that hit home for a lot of people. what I talk about is going to be a totally different element in this, and it's going to hit home for a lot of people. And it's to the point now where you just, some people probably just put their hands up and be like, I'm done. There's nothing else that can be done. It's almost like some people are just waiting for the ultimate tragedy to happen. And it's terrible, but we'll talk about it on Saturday. It's going to be loaded. It's going to be loaded, and it's not going to be something you hear on other shows. So, but yeah, we'll talk about it Saturday. It'll be some real combo. And that's one of the things I enjoy about doing these shows. We do have some serious combo involved. And that does help for some out there. It's therapeutic for some. It's a reality check for others. They, down the line, they have a similar situation. They understand how other people have handled it. You know, there's other people out there. WWE Raw SmackDown took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Roman Reigns comes out and cuts a promo, and Seth Rollins interrupts him. And this leads to the Usos, and then the new day. You know, that's not my type of show. So, DonTonyShirts.com. If you want to check out the 25th anniversary shirt that is now on sale, I have a few samples that are going to be sent to me. I should have them by next week. So I will wear it and show it off. DonTonyShirts.com. And some people have asked about some of the Pro Wrestling Tees shirts. When am I going to put them on my website? DonTonyShirts.com. Probably this week. So you will see new shirts added. And in about a month, we will have another design coming out. And don't forget, very, very soon, we're going to be celebrating episode number 5,000. So I have to start thinking about a design to make to celebrate 5,000 episodes with Don Tony. So everyone, it's been real. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your Saturday. And if you're around Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I will be right here. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.